You know, one day I went up to my wife. I said, "Hon, I love you, but you need to go." She's like, "What? What do you mean?" I said, "You need to go." She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "You need to go take some time with the Lord, for I hurt you." No. And she went and came back refreshed. My wife, see how things come around, she did the same thing to me. She says, "You need to go, for she hurts me." So, so I spent the last 2 days with the Lord, and I can tell you that there is great joy in the heart of God, but there's also great grief. And the great grief is because he sees where his children should be, and they're not. And he has great joy where his children are that are supposed to be. And in that, he's getting ready to do something very, very powerful. Many will grab it, many will miss it. But as they begin to see others grab it, they will begin to grab it. Hopefully, they'll be able to see in time. We are in a time right now, in a season, you know, and it's not about who's elected for president right now. Amen? Because we're not under that realm of government. We're under the eternal government. No matter what. But I can tell you that God has used a man named Trump to pull back the veil. He used that man to expose evil. And there is evil happening. People have no idea that if they vote for things that God disapproves of, they bring a curse on themselves. So we want to vote for those who God approves. Amen? Amen. It's amazing to where, you know, I saw some stuff on Facebook, and we've got an individual that says, wants to rescue children, but yet is willing to kill a nine-month-old baby or before it's born. 9 months. I mean, it's pretty hypocritical, isn't it? But that's what's happening, because things come out of the mouth, say one thing, but behind closed doors there's another thing. But God sees all, doesn't he? And those who are able to see because they're in the Spirit, they're seeing these things. But those who are not seeing these things is because God says they do not love truth. They don't love truth. And because they don't love truth, they will receive a delusion, a deception that will keep them blinded unless they turn and repent. We are in a time right now where it's no longer waiting. It's a time to act. Amen? Amen? God has called right now. There's a call to action. Everyone say call to action. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 1. Is everybody there? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Let's speak it together, please. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a what? Partaker of the glory that will be revealed. There's a glory that's going to be revealed. Even, it's called the early and latter rain. It's coming. In fact, we're seeing twinklings of it now. He said, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. That means be accountable. God is requiring that we be accountable. Anyone that's not willing to be accountable cannot be trusted. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud. God calls it arrogance and pride. But he gives grace to the humble. In other words, he's going to release, he's going to unfold more of his will. That's why so many people are in a place. And it doesn't mean that you need to know what to do at certain times, but you know that you're in his will. And so more of his will be exposed. It will be released to where you will know But the reason why it's not being released in certain areas, the next, because his will unfolds, is because there's not accountability. He said there's pride there. In verse 6, therefore do what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may what? Exalt you in due time. That doesn't mean exalt you in an area where he's going to exalt you. Does everybody get it? It means he's going to encourage you. Amen? He's going to promote you. Casting all your what?
Cares.
Casting all your what?
Cares.
Cares upon him, for he what?
Cares
for you. Well, there means that there needs to be an exchange. In other words, you got to stop trying to figure it out everything out yourself. In fact, we're our worst enemy.
Amen.
One of the things he kept sharing with me is we need to get out of his way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said this in verse 8. Be what?
Sober.
Be what?
Sober.
That means alert. Be vigilant, which means what? Consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But may the God of all grace, no, resist him what?
Steadfast.
In other words, don't be moved. Be consistent. Be vigilant. Be sober. Resist him steadfast where?
The faith.
In the faith. See, you can't resist him anywhere else. That's why the word says submit to God. Submit to God, his ordinances and his government. Then you'll be able to resist the devil. Does everybody get it? See, there's too many lone rangers out there. Those are the ones God's heart is grieved. He's grieved. He said, they're lone rangers. I told them to come and submit to me. We must submit to the government of the Lord. That is called submitting to God, being accountable. There are no lone rangers out there. Amen. Resist them steadfast in the faith. That's an area where you totally trust him. Amen. You're grabbing hold. Why? Because when you're in that arena, you can see things all the way through. Or else you can't. You can't see past yourself. Resist them steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So everybody's going through it. Now may the God of all grace, who called us. Everyone say, I'm called. To his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered. Suffered means corrected. Amen? You're going to go through trials. After you've been corrected and chained, trained up, that's suffering. The suffering is tearing off you. Some people hold on to themselves like a teddy bear. After you have suffered a while, perfect. And what else?
Establish.
Then what? Strengthen. And what? Settle you to. You are not moved. You are constant, submissive, accountable, not moved. Not moved by how you feel. Not moved by things that are happening around you. Not moved by the environment. You are not a man pleaser. You are a God pleaser. And you're submitting to his government that's been placed on this earth. So everybody got it? 2 Thessalonians 1. You know, when after my encounter with the Lord, and it was a glorious moment, the Lord introduced me to his spirit, his angels, and he plugged me right into a fellowship and had me in intercessory prayer and wanted me consistent, and I stayed in fellowship. He said, if you can't serve here, you can't go out and serve me. I said, okay. And so there was a point in time where in my prayer time, he would tell me to do certain things. And I said, Lord, I can hear you. I can see you. Why do I need to read the Bible? Why can't you just talk to me and tell me? He said, because there's more to it. I want you to be a part of my body. So he corrected me. I want you to be a part of my body. There are no lone rangers. And I went, okay. All right. Believe me, because I saw so many hypocrites carrying Bibles. I saw so much garbage out there that I did not like before Christ, before my visitation. I saw so many people who proclaimed to be Christians. I didn't even know what a Christian was, really. But they were Baptists or Catholics or whatever they were. That's what I call religious people. who proclaimed to be religious because I didn't even know what a Christian was. But they were idiots. They were hypocrites. See, I didn't know what, if that was religion, then I didn't want it. If that were those who carried Bibles, I didn't want that. And that's what I was telling the Lord. I don't want that. I want to just be with you. And he said, no, no Lone Rangers. You connect in my body and you stay plugged in and I'll remove you when it's time. And when it's time, you'll be sent. And I said, okay. So I'm sharing with you, this was what grieves God. The area where there's too many Lone Rangers and they're not connecting. There's a non-connection. And in that non-connection, it causes trouble. It causes discord. And it seems that those who are not connected seem to flock together. It's called the unconnected fellowship. Yeah, we're just unconnected. We're cool. No, you're an idiot. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 3, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Is everybody there? What's it say? Let no one what? 2 Thessalonians chapter verse 3. Okay. Okay. What the heck? It's missing. No. Glory. Is everybody there? We are what? We are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, as if it is fitting because your faith does what? It grows. Say, my faith grows. How many of y'all want God to grow your faith? Amen. Amen? Grows what? Exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you what? Endure. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming what? Fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about two different people, those who don't know him and those who proclaim to know him but don't obey the word. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day, to be glorified where? In his saints. That's the next move. He is coming to be glorified in the saints. Before he personally comes, he's coming to be glorified in the saints. But you got to be positioned. And be admired among all those who believe because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus. Worthy of the calling to fulfill the good pleasure, his good pleasure. Amen. It's his call, his goodness. Everyone say it's his goodness. His goodness. He wants to work in me and you. Amen. So in this, in his goodness, it is called the work of faith with power to glorify his name in us. In other words, God is trying to bring us to a place where we are releasing the goodness of God. Why? When we release the goodness of God, it releases a realm of possibilities. Where nothing is impossible. Where faith is no longer limited. It's succeeding. Because you know that you know that you know. In Romans chapter 2. Call to action. That's what's happening right now. But it must be done in faith. Amen? It all must be done in what? Faith. Romans chapter 2. Verse 1. Let's speak it. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge. For whenever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the what? The same thing. Amen?
Amen?
It's amazing how many people are talking about somebody else when they're doing the same thing. That's what he's talking about. He's not about exposing, in other words, he's not talking about exposing the wicked deeds. He's about exposing someone that's doing wicked deeds when they're practicing the same wicked deed. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you'll escape the judgment of God? Now, this judgment of God is not his wrath. Amen? It's a judgment of chastening. It's correction. How many of y'all know correction brings direction?
Amen.
Amen. Or do you despise the riches of his what? Goodness. Forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to what?
Amen.
Repentance. Repentance. So that means that God is going, people are going to see the goodness of God in you, where you are. You know the first thing people want to know? Whether you're submissive or not. Why? They see that by your conduct, don't they? They're going to sense whether you're rebellious or submissive. One is witchcraft and one is Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's real simple. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads to what?
Repentance.
So as people see your goodness, the goodness of God, the righteous to be met, they're going to come to repentance. Why? Because you're going to tell them about his goodness, aren't you? Amen? But in accordance with your hardness and your impeding heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. He's saying, look, if you're going to reject this judgment, you're going to end up in my wrath. You are treasuring up yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continue, everyone say continue, that means be consistent, in doing good, seeking for glory, honor, and immortality. But those who are what?
Self-seeking,
and do not obey the truth or the government of God, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish, and every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality, there is no partiality with God. Amen? So nobody gets away with it. Sometimes people forget the goodness of God. They forget. They lose sight of what God has done for them. They only remember what they've done for themselves. You know, the influences are great these days. There's so much influence through technology, through associations, through all kinds of things. There's an evil influence and there's a righteous influence. And remember, sometimes that influence has a falseness. It may have an influence of good, but behind it is evil. That's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It may have a form of goodness. It may have a form of godliness. But I'm telling you, you'll be able to see it if you're in the Spirit. Amen? The goodness of God. His presence, his glory. Many people are losing their first love. They've lost surrendering their life. They've become self-seekers, no longer releasing God's goodness. His goodness is a place of impossibilities to become possible. It was impossible for me to get saved. I mean, literally. It was impossible for me to get rescued. But God turned the impossibility to a possibility. It was impossible for God to restore my marriage. It was impossible. It was impossible that my house was in foreclosure. And there were lien on it that everything disappeared. And it was restored with no money. That was the possible. Because after I'd gotten saved, I entered a realm of possibility. Because he could save me, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
I entered a realm of impossibilities. I realized the goodness of God. When that glory came upon me, man, I pray it comes upon every single one. And we wouldn't have to do Bible studies. No, we still have to fellowship, don't we? Amen? So his goodness is an area where things become possible that were impossible. Remember, judgment comes for those who reject his goodness or forget his goodness. You know, we must remember where we came from. That's an attitude of gratitude. Where we came from, how it started. Amen? If we can hold on to where the moment that God rescued us, no matter what you're going through, you can hold on all the way to the end. In James chapter 1, you know, we go to places and they say, well, let's have a moment of silence. I hate that. Having a moment of silence is nothing. Let's have a moment of silence. Why? Let's pray. Sheesh. James chapter 1, verse 21. Let's speak it, please. Therefore, lay aside all what?
Filthiness
and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. That's why you got to know this word. You got to have fellowship not only with the word of God, but with the fellowship of those who are upright in heart. Amen? And in worship in God's presence. It's required by God Almighty. He said, forsake not to abide. Amen? In verse 22, but be what?
Doers
of the word, and not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. There's a lot of talkers and not doers. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately does what? He forgets the goodness of God. What kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and does what? Continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be what?
Blessed
in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows, in their trouble, and do what? Keep oneself unspotted from the world. Keep yourself unspotted. That means you can't do your will no more. Because your will put spots on you. Amen? Become doers of his promise to release his goodness in this realm. I'm going to say it again. We become doers of his promise to release his goodness in this realm. Amen? Why? Because when we release God's goodness in this realm, it brings the impossible to become possible. It says, faith without action is dead. His plan wasn't designed to make sense all the time. Amen?
Amen.
But it was designed to make faith. So the power of possibility can become a reality. We want the power of possibility. Nothing, you know, everybody says, well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But they really don't do it. They say it, but don't do it, because it's really not a reality to them. Does everybody understand that? It's really not a reality. So we want to, God is trying to get us to the place where his goodness is not only expressed, but the realm of possibility is released to an individual by faith, so that you and I have a reality set before us that nothing is impossible. Nothing. That is a level of faith we must reach. Amen? God does not come down to us in that. We go up to him in that.
Amen.
And by declaring the goodness of God, the power of possibility is released in this realm. Again, his plan is not only for here and now, but for future. So what you're doing now is affecting your future. Ephesians chapter 3. We call those things that are not as though they what? Are. Oh, how quickly we forget. Call to action. In verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where?
In the inner man.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend, understand with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, or the goodness of God. Now to him who is able to do this, is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all that we can ask or think, according to the what?
Power.
Everyone say power.
Power.
That works in me. That works in me. Everyone say that works in me. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Followers of God, the power that works in us. These are doers. Above all the things of the world are able to go through. In other words, nothing is limited. Nothing. All things are possible. All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm calling those things that are not as though they are. I'm going to see through what is impossible and look at the possible. Amen? We've got to reach this arena. It is required right now. Before release the fire of God, amen? You know, look at, there's a fire that's within us. There's a zeal that's within us. Amen? God said this. He said, look at, before you can release the fire of God, turn it and have it released on you first.
Amen.
Let it burn through you first. Why? Because to release the fire of God, amen, it must come through us. We are nothing but a catalyst. You know, one day I was pulling out of a library, and there was a man laying. He was rolling up a bed. He must have been sleeping on the side of the building. And I was pulling out of the parking place, and the Lord said to me, stop. I want you to go back there. He said, that man wants to talk to you. I said, that man wants to talk to me? All right. So I pulled back into the parking place, and this guy ran up to my car. And he says, I need to talk to you. I was like, okay. I rolled down the window and said, get in. And he could smell alcohol and all kinds of stuff on him. And he said, I need to talk to you. And I said, well, before you talk to me, let's pray. And we began to pray. And I said, now you pray. You pray. And he prayed. And he accepted the Lord and so forth. He said, before I pray for you, you pray. And he prayed. And I said, you know, I used to be in your condition. I explained to him the goodness of God. I was sharing with him. But God freed me. I didn't always, was that not able to drive a car. I didn't have one. I said, but I do now. And I began to share with him what was what, because of where I came from. And I said, no, I'm going to pray for you. He goes, okay. And I laid a hand on him, and I just said, Father, and before I could finish the word Father, the power of God went through my head. I thought somebody just hit me with an axe. Through my body and through my arms, and hit this man. This man flew out of his seat, hit the roof of the car. I thought he was going to go through it. He came down, and his first words out of his mouth is, I didn't know he loved me that much. And he rolled up his sleeves and showed me all the track marks of his abusive needles. And his eyes, when I first saw him, were red. And when I looked at him, they were clear. God brought him through detox instantly.
Amen.
And I said, look at you, look at you. And I turned the mirror to him. I said, look in there. And he's going, oh! He goes, I got to go tell everybody. And he was trying to get out. I said, wait a minute. And I had a Bible. I gave him my Bible. I said, take this with you. He said, I got to go tell everybody what God did. He was going to go and tell everybody the goodness of God. He went and rolled his bed. He took off. I've never seen him since. But see, before God releases, he wants us to turn on us first, because we get in the way.
Amen.
Amen. We get in the way. And we need to get out of the way. And that's through this understanding carnal aspect in our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Are we okay?
Amen.
Call to action. Yes. Call to action always starts out with prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Starts out with prayer. If you're not a person of prayer, there's no way you can have a call to action. The only action is going to be having that is you. is pray. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Let's speak it. For we dare not class ourselves or is everybody there? Or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. For we are not overextending ourselves as though our authority did not extend to you. For it was to you that we came with the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond measure, that is, in other man's labors, but having hope that as your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our sphere. To preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's sphere of accomplishment. In other words, we do not exalt men. We encourage them. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Amen. So your faith, which is this, your trust, your vision, and your action. Your faith, your trust. Has everybody got it? And your action will increase for his glory. He's trying to get us to a place where our faith increases, our vision increases, and our actions increase. So it may bring glory to his name. Amen? That means God is trying to bring us to a place where not only do we release his goodness and power to turn things to the good, but we release opportunities for individual. We encourage them that all things are possible through Christ. There is an arena right now that so many people are downcast. So many people are discouraged because God's not answered their prayer, but he has answered the prayer. He said, wait. Or he said, no. Hello? But people push forward no matter what. Or he might have said, that's not what, I'm not answering your prayer because that's not right. I have another plan for you. But let me tell you, if you kick and buck enough, he'll give it to you. Amen. And you'll be regretting it later. Amen? Amen? We want to do his will and not our own. But the thing is we must get out of his way. That is the time right now. Get out of God's way in everything you do. In 1 Peter chapter 1. When we get out of his way, his glory flows. The call to action. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, please. Let's speak it. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by what? Various trials. That the what? Genuineness of your faith. Do you really trust him? Do you really trust him? The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than what? Gold that perishes. It's amazing how many people money have come first these days. That it is tested by fire may be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressibly and a full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be what? Sober, alert, and rest your hope fully upon the grace, God's plan, that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As what? Obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts of this world, as in your ignorance.
But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Faith, he says, is more precious, more powerful than money. Protect your thoughts from worldly influence that steal your faith. Amen? And steal your innocence in Christ. Be holy, which means upright, a divine conduct, rejecting ungodliness. He said, be filled with his presence. Listen, one of the things the Lord wants to do is leave his mark wherever you go. Amen? Leaving his mark, in other words, God was here. God was here. This is the call to action, is to leave his mark. Amen? Because his mighty wind is blowing once again. He shared with me about the four winds that will be released. See, I had a vision a while ago about three whirlwinds. And the first whirlwind that came was pushing back and unveiling darkness. And the second wind was exposing sin. The second whirlwind was gathering his people that had been outcast. And the third whirlwind was they were taken up. But the Lord said, I'm releasing the four winds of each corner. The four winds of his glory is coming. It is blowing. And you're going to see more and more increase of not only God's goodness, but miracles, signs, wonders, all kinds of things happening. It is a time, why? Because he says he's calling. It is a call to action. It is a call to action for intercession. It is a call to action to lay hands on the sick. It's a call to action to cast out devils. It's a call to action to live a holy life. It is a call to action to depart from evil. Is it a call to action to submit to his government and be trained up? It is a call to action to be accountable so that you gain credibility. It's a call to action. So we leave his mark. Amen. Psalm 34. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 34. In verse 1, let's speak it, please. I will bless the Lord when? At all times. So you're not going to bless. You're going to bless the Lord even when you feel rotten. Because you're going to not let those feelings dictate what comes out of your mouth. Amen? I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. In fact, you shouldn't feel rotten anyways. Amen? Now, you may be sick and whatever. Amen? That means, you know, you may not feel good, but I'm not going to let that dictate your maintaining the joy of the Lord. So in between your sneezes, your praise. Amen. At you, praise God. Why? Because you're going to burn through it. Amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Fear. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. What was he doing? He was turning the impossible to the possible. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, reverence him, honor him, respect him. Listen, an angel of the Lord, this angel can kill 185,000 humanites. Does anybody get it? One angel can kill 185,000 people. Just like that. He did it for King David. So if you have a legion of them, what are you worried about? But you got to have the reverence and honor and respect. It says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who what? Trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. You know why? Because they know he's going to provide. He know. They know. They know he's going to make a way. They know. There is no want to those who reverence him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good things. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear or reverence of God. Who is a man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil. And what? And your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the what? Righteous. And his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil and cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Look at this one. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. 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 See, one of the things that need to continually happen for me and you is we need to depart from ourselves. Again, we're our worst enemy. And turn what doesn't make sense into faith. This doesn't make sense, but it will make faith. Amen? By taking action with divine wisdom and understanding. And wisdom tells you what to do. Understanding tells you how to do it. James chapter 1. Call to action. It's like God is shaking his people. He's opening the tombs where people have been sleeping in. He's moving away the stone. He's saying it's time to arise. It's time to awaken. Why? Because final warning. Final warning. I'm coming. My glory is coming through my people. But the ones that are connected, that are ones that are submissive, the ones that I can trust, my glory is coming. And then I'm coming. James chapter 1. Call to action. What does it say? My brother, count it what? All joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lack nothing. Why? You're turning the impossible into the what? Possible. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Here it is. When you ask, you must receive. You must pull it forth from that realm. It will not come in the mail. Listen, there's a lot of books of wisdom out there which are all demonic. They'll hear it carry that third eye. It's a cyclops eye. It's a demon eye. Oh, that's wisdom. No, that's stupidity. That's demonic. That's New Age garbage. It's stealing the faith from God's people. It's amazing how many Christians are caught up in New Age and don't even realize. You know how many Christians are going to celebrate Halloween? Because they don't even know it's the most satanic ritual sacrifice day of the year. So they're going to promote it. They're going to promote Halloween. Oh, we're just going to have a festival. You're going to still dress your kids up? That's still promoting Halloween. Can't you be who you are? Or have you lost your identity? People have, anyways. Verse 5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives it all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he's going to receive anything from the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Hello. Unstable. So count all joy, endure to the call of action. Become perfect, complete, lacking nothing by calling those things that are not as though they are. Amen? See, if you are a covenant-keeping child, you know the promises of God. He says they're yes and amen. Amen? Yes?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And to God be the glory. 2 Corinthians 4. Oh, glory. 2 Corinthians 4. Call to action. Faith is movement. And it starts by first movement of your tongue. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Is everybody okay? We never want to hear, I can't. Amen? I can't.
I can't do that. Now, there's an area where I'm not going to do that because it's not right. Amen. But when God asks you to do something and it doesn't make sense, then make it faith. Amen. But you better be sure God told you. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, that's beautiful. That the power may be of God and not of us. That the power may be of God and not of us. That's going to take faith. That's going to take abiding. That's going to take discipline. That's going to take correction, counsel, and direction. Amen? That's going to take discernment. It's going to take wisdom. It's going to take the area where you're going to have to get yourself behind you so you do not come anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Amen? And but must be removed from your vocabulary. Because we're the head, not the tail. That the power of God may be of him and not of us. In verse 8, we are what? Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. Is that taking action? Yes. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, hallelujah, which is but for a moment, is what? It's working for us. It's training us. Amen. For us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are what? That's called faith. Looking at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The power of God should be of us and not of us. First, we got to deny ourselves. Amen? Amen? Jesus gave us a formula. Pick up, deny yourself. You must deny yourself. You must first recognize you got to is yourself in the way. Amen. And you're not going to recognize that if you haven't been in God's presence enough. You must deny yourself. The second thing is you must fight for his promises. That's where the word says pick up your cross. Because when you pick the cross up out of the ground, it turns into a sword. Amen? So here we must deny ourselves. We must fight for his presence and his promises. Amen. You're fighting for his presence and his promises. And then the third thing is to take action just like he did, where we imitate him. And then what we do, we leave his mark. Amen. We leave his mark. Not our mark, his mark. And wherever his mark is left, there's an imprint of God's been here. And where God has been, it connects. And that connection brings revival. Amen? So be ready in season and out. Stay connected. Stay connected so you can leave his mark. Amen? People that don't leave his mark receive another mark. And it ain't a mark of an angel. Well, maybe it's a fallen one. It's called the beast. Amen? We don't want any marks of the beast. We want the markings of Christ Jesus. Amen. So again, I want to close at Psalm 111. It's a call to action. One of the things what's required is that we do not leave the fear of the Lord. He said you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need understanding, right? Psalm 111, in verse 10, one simple verse. Is everybody there? Yes.
Okay, we're going to sow this, aren't we? So why? Because what you speak is what you eat. What you eat is what you become. People that don't speak the word can't change. The what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Say it again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You cannot get the fear of God without His presence. Amen? That's why we worship, to get His presence. I don't care how many times you go to church, you won't have the fear of God. I used to go to church every stinking day as a little varmint. I was a flesh creature and a half. They made me go to church every day. I was in one of those religious schools. Every day. Then I became a part of it and became an altar boy. Boy, was that a mistake. But I didn't change anything. I went to church every day. Didn't change it. So I left the dope and the guns outside. And I went into church. But it didn't change me. On my way out, I picked them back up. See, if it had changed me, I wouldn't have picked them up. Amen? Because there was no presence of God. It was just a religious jargon, a form of godliness. I did a lot of kneeling and not a lot of genuflecting and praying to statues. It was ridiculous. No change, no power, just religious. Until I met the King of Glory and realized that there's real power. But see, you can't give what you don't have. So you got to stay out of His way all the time. Amen? So that's why He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You can't even get the fear of God without His presence. In fact, the more you stay away from His presence, the less you have of fear. You become religious. You start quoting scriptures and trying hope. It becomes the hope realm instead of the faith realm. Instead of the power realm. Amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And now look at what's the rest of it say. A good understanding have those who do His commandments or requests. This is not talking about the Ten Commandments. This is talking about Him speaking to you and saying, do this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a good understanding have those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Again, there is a call to action. Let us not miss it. Amen. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, You have called us to action, and we thank You. I pray that this seed of revelation be imparted and grow and bear fruit into all parts of our being, that we would increase in faith and wisdom and understanding, that all those things that come across our path that seem impossible would remember of Your goodness to turn the impossible into the possible, that Your mark can be left wherever we go. And we promise to give You all the glory in Jesus' name.